You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio. As you know, we broadcast on 860 AM radio, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And as always, I ask that you contact family and friends and invite them to tune in. And if you have Alexa, just go to Alexa 860 AM and it will come up for you every Wednesday between 11 AM and 12 noon. First of all, I want to say a big thank you to our panel members. Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And remember that you can go to his store and see what he has to offer simply by going to madeinamericastore.com. He will ship those products to you and you'll guaranteed to be 100% Made in America, everything that you receive from Mark Andel. Larkin Connolly, I need to hear what he's got to say today. He is a national small business advocate. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And of course, Curtis Ellis, always promoting the America First Project. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Just let me take 2 minutes to say a few things that are on my mind. Number one, the severe economic effects of the coronavirus pandemic that originated in China will certainly go down in the history books of America and the world. It would be good if the efforts of supporters of the Buy American Made campaign are included in those historic reflections, because our efforts, our campaign for 20 years have always promoted American workers and the businesses that are employing them. We saw some horrible things happen to us since mid-March, with tens of thousands of businesses all over East Coast, West Coast, Center, everywhere closed up, millions and millions of businesses forced closed due to the coronavirus considerations. Now we have 40 million people unemployed. And I'm asking that everyone direct all of your support possible to American workers by purchasing the products that you see listed as made in the USA. It's really the best way for us to keep Americans employed. Also, as we continue to promote the Buy American Made message, you're asked to look for everything possible and make sure you speak up where you go shopping this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and every first full weekend of the month is National Small Business Weekend. Many of the businesses are beginning to reopen. Kindly go out of your way to support them, because we have to restore the tens of millions of jobs that have been lost in America as a result of the coronavirus, as we all know, which originated in China, was not properly reported, and here we are. And then in the last week, we had positive protesters surrounding the death, the unnecessary death of George Floyd. And those positive protests were good to see. However, there were many outsiders, the rioters that damaged private property and looted stores and did all kinds that caused hell for people. It was absolutely unnecessary and absolutely a disgrace. And what we have to do now is focus on bringing back the people into the businesses. People may be a little worried about going into the neighborhoods until they get back up to par, but I'm asking people to go out and support your local businesses so that they can revive. I'm going to first ask a gentleman who couldn't get with us last week because there was some telephone miscommunication to give us some opening words. Curtis Ellis, tell us everything, what's going on.
Well, we've gone from pandemic to pandemonium. It's just another day in the neighborhood here. Mr. Democrat's neighborhood. I think we ought to be able to have a pretty clear picture of what kind of world the progressive project seeks to build for us to live in. It's an upside-down world. It's the world where everything that's legal is now illegal, and everything that was illegal is now legal. If you want to go to work, own a business, run a business, even go shop in a business, sorry, you can't do that. That's illegal. You got to stay at home. If you want to go and shut down traffic and maybe loot stores, some of those stores that have been closed, and basically break the law in 12 different ways, that's legal. In fact, that's encouraged. We just saw a letter signed by hundreds, if not over 1,000 public health officials saying it's very important to go out into these mass gatherings. They used to be against mass gatherings because it would spread COVID-19, but now they're saying, no, it's very important to go out and protest racism and protest this and that and be out there because racism contributes to the virus, so we must go out and protest now. You can't go out of your house to go to your local clothing store, to your local merchant, but you can go out and be with thousands of people who are shouting and screaming and yelling obscenities at the police, and that, in fact, is encouraged. That's the new normal that's being built for us. So I encourage everybody, I say, look, the sham of the lockdown is over. We should go out and open your store, because that way, that's the only way we're going to get the governors and the mayors to call in the National Guard. They will not call in the National Guard to shut down looters and to shut down rioters and all the mayhem and the lawbreakers, but rest assured, they will call in the National Guard to shut down legitimate businesses and to enforce social distancing. So if you want the National Guard to protect your neighborhood against looters and thugs and criminals, the best way to do that would be for everyone to go out and open up their business and go about life in a normal fashion, because that is what these Democrat governors and mayors detest. That is what they fear, and that is what they are absolutely committed to shutting down. And they will use any means necessary to do that. They lied for 3 years about Russia. They lied about impeachment. They lied and created this fantasy about we're all going to die if you somehow go to a clothing store. It's perfectly legitimate and safe. You are safe to go to a liquor store. It is absolutely essential that you go to the marijuana store. Absolutely safe, nothing to worry about. But if you went to the clothing store, or if you went to the heating and air conditioning service center, you're going to die. So we now see that what was this new normal, that all-out crazy AOC and her crew have been projecting for us, and Governor Nero Cuomo, he fiddles with his mask while the city burns. What they're building for us, this new normal that they're so proud of, is basically the upside-down world. That if you go to the playground with your children, you are committing a horrible crime and will go to jail. And there'll be plenty of room in the jail because they've already let out the felons, the perverts, and the assaulters. So there's plenty of room in the jail for law-abiding citizens, but the criminals, we're going to let them out. So, you know, it should be very clear for everybody what type of world's going on here. It's really, and to be serious, this is it's interesting how the pillars of society are being knocked down one by one. When you close down businesses and take people off the streets, take law-abiding, regular, normal, decent people, tell them, lock them in their house, tell them they can't go out, you are ceding the streets to the mentally disturbed and to the criminal element. So in normal times, riots like this would be bad enough. But there would be a sense of normalcy. People would have the normal routine and rhythm of life to buttress their mental health and to build and hold together the fabric of society. After 3 months of shutting down everything and ripping people away from work, away from family, away from school, away from social relationships, and then you throw into the mix this anarchy, this deliberate organized anarchy and looting and rioting, it is worse than anarchy would be in normal situations. I mean, actually, let's put it this way. By shutting down normal life, you have prepared the soil for anarchy. You have prepared the soil for disruption because there is no normal anymore. There is no normal, and now you add into it this horrible violence, and people are more disoriented than ever. They were disoriented already by the pandemic, but now you add to the pandemic pandemonium, and people are even more disoriented. We are at a very critical point here in our... We can't take it for granted. I am sick of seeing these commercials on TV saying, we're strong, we can get through everything, we're Americans, we can get through anything. That's like, you know, that's like Wile E. Coyote, who's run off the edge of the cliff, and he's hanging there in midair and saying, we're strong, we can get through anything. And then he's going to look down and realize there's nothing left. I mean, we cannot fool ourselves anymore with these nostrums. And, you know, it took exactly 45 seconds after the lockdown came in for the giant corporations in Madison Avenue to be inundating us with these ads of, oh, this is the new normal. Oh, this is great. We're all dancing nurses, and we're all wearing masks, and we're all, you know, it's like, get used to it, folks. This is great. You've got your TV, so what do you got to worry about? I'm sick of it. I've had it. Done. We've got to take back our country, take back our jobs, take back our stores, take back our streets. Because if we let this crazy crew run it, and this is an organized crazy crew, keep doing what they're doing, it's over. America is over. And it will happen very quickly. Look what happened with the Soviet Union. It did not take years and years for that to fall apart. It fell apart very quickly. Change comes fast. It's happening around us now. We have to do something to stop it.
Boy, oh boy, Curtis, you took the words right out of my mouth. I want to tell you, I really feel we have to turn the page and get back to a level of normalcy. Working in social services, I want to tell you a few things that come to mind. Number one is, does anybody see how many people are distressed, the depression that's going on, the people who are not the kind that had a real good job, maybe they had part-time jobs, they're really in distress at this time. How about the people who died of cancer? How about the flu? Whatever happened to the flu this year that normally kills 60,000 people a year in America alone? What happened to that? That all of a sudden vanished. I think it's time for everybody to refocus on what is going on. There is more stress in the world and in the America and all of our communities because there's been too much talk of negative, negative, negative. All of these people that went out to protest, and many of them protested and ruined stores in their own communities. Many of those stores were owned by minorities. They could care less. They looted, they hurt businesses, jobs. Now insurance rates are going to increase. People are going to fear doing business in those areas that were affected. And I still believe that many protesters were from outside the area that came to cause the hell in about, 120 cities in the United States. I know here in Philadelphia, 2 days ago, when I was outside, they asked me where a particular street was. And I thought, we have 40 guys walking down the street and don't know where Arch Street is? I said, it's only couple blocks the other direction. And I thought, well, if you don't know where Arch Street, that means you're not from Philadelphia area. But they came in droves, and they were going to that march that was up on the parkway that wound up on the Schuylkill Expressway. It's people coming to do evil, to cause some kind of hell. I don't know what the looters are going to wind up with, the pillows and bedding they took and TVs and all that. What is it really doing? It's hurting our businesses. It's hurting our image. Have you heard this happening in any other country that went through the coronavirus or any other, you know, life-shaking incident? Yes, the man who was killed, George Floyd, this was an absolute disgrace. And they should have taken action the minute it was done. The minute all four of them should have been on the chopping block, not just the one officer, all four. Anyone who sits back and watches someone else be killed, I call it killed.
That's right.
He was killed, should also be considered all as one, because it's the same thing. If you rob a bank and you have two helpers, you are accomplices. If you stood there while you know that this man was hurting someone, saying, "I can't breathe," and you saw that he was slowly being, you know, hurt and dying and did nothing, oh no, I'm sorry, you're an accomplice. I am sorry. Curtis, you're absolutely right. It's time for us to get back and running, because everybody is telling me, when will this end? By the way, I want to say this to you too. We have so many businesses in Philadelphia that are just closing up. Few here.
That's right.
They're just closing up, taking off their signs, everything. I have three down the street here that just took the signs off the building. It's all done. I talked to them. They said, "How long can I go through this?"
Exactly. Exactly. We should have opened up on Easter when Donald Trump first said so. It would be nice to be back by Easter. And then that real estate agent, Dr. Birx, with her scarves and her this and her that, she comes up, and Dr. Fauci, who's a fraud, a total fraud and a shill for the pharmaceutical companies, they come out and start brandishing this study by the Imperial College, which was written by another fraud, Neil Ferguson, saying there's going to be 20 million people dead, 200 million people dead. Oh, my God, let's make it 2 billion people dead. This guy's a crackpot. For the last 20 years, he's been predicting mass death, and they call this science. This is not science. This is pseudoscience.
But you know
this is the same thing as Lysenko, who predicted in the Soviet Union that you could pass on class, what you learned in the communist indoctrination sessions would be passed on to your children. And that it caused mass famine because they thought they could give inherited genes to strains of wheat and things, and so they were planting pebbles that had been, according to Lysenko, imbued with some kind of magical properties. I mean, you put garbage into a computer model, and then you get garbage out in the computer model. That's not science. That's make-believe. And that's what's destroyed this economy. But anyway, this has been a target. Look, the Democrats don't care. They want to eliminate the small business sector. They want to hurt everybody, make everybody into serfs, where you own no property, where you work for a giant corporation. The corporations own everything. You're paying the bank on your mortgage forever and ever and ever, if you're fortunate enough, if you even have it. I mean, look, the key to capital, the key to private, the key to our country and to any stable society is ownership of property. And the guy that founded Levittown said, I'm building the American system, because, you know, somebody who owns a house is too busy taking care of his house to become a communist. Well, so the Democrats want to make sure you don't own a house and you don't own a business. They want to keep you working for Amazon. And Jeff Bezos, who owns the Washington Post, had every reason to promote this virus fear, this hysteria over the virus, because the longer his competitors were closed down, the more money he made at Amazon. Close down the brick-and-mortar stores. Keep them closed. Keep them closed forever. Nobody's going to go to their friendly neighborhood grocer because they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to go to their friendly neighborhood store, so they're going to buy everything on Amazon.
Curtis, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad we're speaking of it, because as we speak of it, people are saying, it's true. How can I not be able to shop here, yet I can go into this big place and shop, and everybody's grabbing this and that? You know, I would personally like to see all the protesters, the positive protesters, organize a More Jobs for America march. I think that's something we have to think about. More Jobs for America march, and have all of our American-made supporters get out there, come out there, socialize, and do positive things to get that movement even doubled of what we have it now.
Well, you know, Michael, you actually hit on the point. The whole key to this whole problem we have in America of inequality and lack of opportunity is because we outsourced our jobs.
That's right.
Who worked in the textile mills? It was blacks and women who worked in the textile mills in the South. Who worked in the factories? It was the blacks who left the South and went north who worked in the auto factories. These factory jobs were the key to the middle class, primarily, and a whole lot especially for blacks and Hispanics. It's the lower income workers who have been hurt most by outsourcing. First of all, the union jobs were their ticket to the middle class. They got decent wages, vacation, retirement, gone, all of that gone. And Milwaukee was an example. Milwaukee, I read this story. Milwaukee had the largest percentage of auto parts, things going on, factories like that. And it was mostly black people who worked in those factories. So if you want to do something about institutional racism and you want to do something about income inequality, bring the jobs back.
You're exactly right. And I want to say this to you. This has hurt all people, all races, all creeds in this country. All of this has hurt unbelievable. And the outsourcing of the jobs is number one. That was the first. If the politicians did not see that that was hurting American workers, who were expected to be good people, pay their taxes, raise their families, and enjoy the greatness of America, where the hell did these people think they were going to be able to get jobs and pay their taxes and raise their families? This is what caused an enormous amount of poverty here in the United States of America. Other countries are having their poverty levels drop, and our poverty levels continue to grow. This doesn't make sense. I think the idea of More Jobs for America March is really a good point. I'm going to turn to a second to talk to our good buddy, Mark Andel. Mark, tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods.
Wow, guys. Curtis, you hit the nail on the head, and Mike, you know, just perfect. Challenging times, crisis week number 12. We're rolling, Mike. The Made in America movement's alive more than ever. We've got one store open. We were in phase two yesterday, was allowed to open, which was retail and even some salons and barbershops. But we suddenly got shut down because malls can't open, and three of our stores are in malls, because if you don't have an outside entrance, they suddenly said you can't open. So, you know, that's week 12 of three of our stores being closed, actually four. So that was a big surprise for week 12. And, you know, a gentleman wrote Galleria Mall, owned by Pyramid, a letter that they're using. And it was by this Jonathan Reed. Jeffrey Ives wrote it for Jonathan Reed Menswear. But in it basically said, over the last 11 weeks, our businesses have done everything that we were asked of. We stayed home. We kept people safe. We sacrificed for the betterment of everyone. We've seen the numbers go down. Now we're ready to take the next steps to normalcy. And the next paragraph was, he found it hard, as it was to admit, but many businesses, as I agree, can't stay closed any longer. Federal funding assistance wasn't geared towards this long term. Payroll protection is drying up. Rents are due. Vendors need payments. Staffs are eager to go to work. But yet we see Target, Walmart jammed with people. They see the protests outside in large crowds with no masks. And they're saddened. You know, they're saddened because they want to get back to work, feel control of their own lives, and again, to connect with the people again, to be part of something again. And basically, Curtis, that's what you're saying. You know, so very tough. We're going on week 12. You know, we want to make it to the other side. We're holding on to some military work. Our oil and mining work's dried up now. And just tough, challenging times. And then you see these protests. And protests are one thing, positive protesting, but the looting, the rioting, the destroying of small businesses. Buffalo, Philadelphia, Mike, I see on the news, the White House really hit me when you see 300-400 people in front of the White House. Just the looting and the destroying the businesses again, Mike. Just feel bad for those trying to, you know, here you got the COVID-China crisis 12 weeks, and then you've got your business destroyed. And I know a lot of people in Buffalo, same things night after night. And it's just a shame. You know, again, I see Donald Trump holding that Bible. To me, it means we've got to believe and trust in God, and we've got to come together. But just tough times, Mike. But, you know, we're on the Made in America movement side. We're very strong. I think, Curtis, like you said, bringing back factories and the blue-collar workers to middle class, Made in America can answer most of our country's problems. We have to believe in it. We have to give people a purpose, get them back to work. I say open this country up now, everywhere.
You're right. And
every business, open it up. That's the answer. Get people back in these businesses. Cuomo's playing around with us now to shut us back down yesterday. We don't know when. They don't even know when these malls will open, Mike, so we can open our stores. They don't know if it'll be in phase four, one senator told me. I said, is there a phase five? So,
oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
Just crazy. They're putting businesses out right now.
Now, let me ask you this,
with
Mark.
Somebody with common sense would say, I mean, by somebody, I mean these leaders, so-called leaders, were led by idiots. If these idiots had common sense, they would realize that opening now is essential to restoring order and restoring normalcy to our society.
I think, Curtis, I woke up, that's the answer. Open them up.
Open it up right now. You're going to have thousands of people in the street. Okay, apparently nobody cares about COVID anymore. And we've got this mayhem going on. What we need to do is restore normalcy, restore order.
Right now.
Deputize 300 million Americans to do that. Go back to your normal life. That will be the counterbalance, the flywheel that keeps society going, keeps the momentum of society going, while you have this faction of organized anarchists trying to disrupt society.
Because
there aren't enough police in the world to enforce order. There aren't enough police and National Guard and military to enforce order when you have a vacuum. But if you have 300 million Americans going about their normal lives, that restores order. Do it now.
Oh, I can't agree. Oh, God, I can't agree. Let me ask you this. Does anybody know, Rich, do you have any idea why the big box stores were chosen to be open and everybody else closed? Rich, you have that answer to that question?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to our listeners. Curtis, Mark, our audio engineer, always makes us sound good. Yes, Mike, I do. It's because they have a magical force field around their stores that prevent you from getting COVID when you walk into it. I also discovered this week that Nike stores and Papa John's pizzerias are also immune from the COVID coronavirus.
Well, what's so their secret? Let's share it. You know,
they have the magic force field around it. It's what actually Curtis mentioned in the beginning. You know, what's up is down, what's left is right. Men can play women's sports, and we can hug terrorists and have peace. Michael, you know, you guys know about my book coming out, 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again. And I write in that book, and I say all the time, the most, to use a Larkin word, the most egregious missed opportunity we have whiffed on for many years has been, instead of talking to our young people like adults, eye to eye, man to man, woman to woman, We've called them dumb, stupid, you know, all of that. But even I, that guy you just heard, Mike, even I have a line that gets, there's always a line that has to be drawn. There's always that, right, Curtis, there's always a point where you reach a line. And this is not youthful indiscretion, Michael, what we've seen. What it is terrorism. That's what it is. So for all of the parents out there who have bred what I'm calling Generation U for Useless, for all the parents out there who have bred the most useless generation of young people in American history, congratulations. They've actually done it, Michael. Here's the difference between, Michael, marches in the 60s, when you had I Have a Dream in Washington, you had Selma to Montgomery marches. And the difference between then and now is the people who marched in the 60s, they were directly affected by Democrat legalized racism. Always make sure you call it Democrat legalized, Curtis. They're the ones who made it legal. Jim Crow, segregation, Rosa Parks at the back of the bus, Democrat. Make sure you call it Democrat created. So they were actual victims.
But Richard,
hold on, let me finish my point. The people in the 60s, they were directly affected by Democrat legalized racism. They had all the right in the world to march the way they did peacefully. The people we have seen this past week, Curtis, probably not a singular one of them has ever been victimized by a policy. And if they have been victimized by a policy, I will bet every penny, Mark, of future earnings that it was in a city run by Democrats for tens of thousands of consecutive days.
Well,
so what exactly are we marching for? What are we doing right? What's the desired end result? I always ask, what's the desired end result?
I want to tell you this. I agree with the people who marched in the 60s because they did. They were pushed aside. They were pushed down. But there was something different about those people. If you look at any of the marches with Dr. Martin Luther King, you will see that there were large numbers of signs that said, we want jobs. We want to be employed. We want to have the dignity of employment. Go back in some of the historic pieces that you can find on the internet, and you will see those signs. Now, where are the signs today? If we organized a More Jobs for America march in every city, we would be doing it for people to go and shop afterward, go out and support the local restaurants, do positive things. These people are coming here. There is someone sending these people. They're outsiders. Who comes prepared with all these bricks that they had, ball peen hammers and all this crap that they had ready to break and destroy? Who does that? Who comes prepared?
But
someone
did this to
divide America.
I have a serious question, though. My serious question is this. Most of the people we saw in the streets, they're young. We'll call them young people, late teens, early 20s. Does anybody know where their Mark, where are their parents? What are they doing right now? Right now, as we speak, what are they doing? Do they even have parents, some of them? Or, Curtis, are they being raised by grandma and grandpa, who were supposed to die, by the way, by Republicans during the COVID-19 crisis? Remember when grandma and grandpa were supposed to die? You know where they actually did die at the highest rate, sadly, Michael? Where you live. Mark, where you live. Curtis, where you live. You know where it didn't happen at the high rates? Where me and Larkin live. Why is that? Do we have a mess? You asked for the secret, Michael. You asked for the secret sauce. Here's what I know when all is said and done. When all is said and done, Michael, when the terrorists have become bored and they cease terrorizing and the flames are extinguished, and the people who died in the riots and are buried and cremated, when the shards of glass from the storefronts are picked up and disposed of, and when the livelihoods are permanently lost, Democrats will still run the vast majority of the deadliest and most dangerous cities in America, where the relationships between police and communities are perpetually acrimonious and at odds.
Well, you know, Rich, I agree
with a lot
of that, but there's something
that's the reality, though, Michael.
That's the reality.
Where are the parents?
As the parents are number one, but it's also the people who are elected to go into local and national offices who should have been furiously calling the White House. We want action to open up this economy.
But Michael,
anybody knows that this is not going to, this is not going to come back easy. It's not going to take a week or a month. There's a lot of stress and strain.
Everything we have seen, Michael, goes on smaller scales every single day in these cities. It's just that it's on steroids. Every single day it goes on in these cities. And nobody can convince me. I've been waiting for years for someone to say to me, you know, Rich, 25,000 days consecutively of the same people running a city isn't enough time to know if it doesn't work. Like in your city, Michael, the same people have been running it supermajority for 25,000 consecutive days. The only reason that you have anybody not on the blue team is because you have a city charter that dates back to the 50s that requires two token GOPers who are probably not that different from the Dems anyway in Philadelphia. How long do you need?
Well,
How about Minneapolis where this situation occurred? You have tens of thousands of days of the same people running it. How about South Bend, where Pete Buttigieg is? How about Baltimore? How about Mark in Buffalo? How about in Newark? How about in Chicago and in Oakland? How about these folks? What do they all have in common? Irrespective of who the president is, irrespective of what party is in Congress, irrespective of the state legislature majority party, irrespective of the governor, what party the governor is, Michael, one fact remains consistent for tens of thousands of consecutive days. Those same people, when they're in office and they're in power, their cities have the worst rates of failing schools, local stagnant economies, problems with the cops, drugs, gun violence. All these Democrats I hear who say, well, such and such country doesn't have this problem. Go, Curtis, go drop a million Democrats into Sweden and then call me in a year. Let me know how it's working out. They'll run them so fast out of the, they'll put them on an airplane and drop them back into America. Go stick them in there for a year. Just give them, go put in Denmark. Go take half the people in Philly, Michael. Go stick them in, no offense to Philly people, but the ones who vote you 25,000 straight days in, go drop them in the middle of the Netherlands or wherever else we're talking, you know, Denmark, you know. Go drop them in the middle of Denmark. They'll be running them out so fast, they'll be dropping them back into Walnut Street.
But, you know, Rich, this is a small complaint on the Republican Party. Yes, it's true. They've been in for so many thousands of days and weeks and everything. But where are the candidates from the independent or it's time for them to resurrect?
The Republican and Democratic Party establishments are both done.
Well, this is, by the way, this is an enormous opportunity for the Republican Party to rise again. There is a city not far from Philadelphia. When they wanted to make major change, they asked the entire minority community to register Republican, and they did. And they went that year and they cleaned out all the people in the city government.
And Michael,
this is
one
what,
last point.
Hey,
let me
why can't we have point. The people who are now Democrats become Republicans?
Understood. Let me make a last point. Because, again, I don't pick data to come to an outcome just that the outcome I want. I don't dispute that it's not a singular group that has caused a lot of the ills in these cities. Outsourcing is a bipartisan scourge.
Absolutely.
It's existed for a long time. These people have run for tens of thousands of days. There are generally two refutations that are presented to me. And the first is, well, Rich, that sounds a little oversimplified, to which I say, okay, well, give me the complicated answer. No one's given me the complicated answer, Mark. And then, of course, there's the other answer, which is, well, you know, there's a but you know, there's other reasons. And I say, absolutely, I agree. So what percentage of the problems have to do with 25,000 consecutive days of the same people? Give me a number. What percentage of it, Curtis? Like, Curtis, if a company was run by the same people for 25,000 consecutive days and never made any money, do you think they would have lasted that long?
I don't think so.
Would they have would you have said, well, the economic conditions around the world have created lots of volatility? No, they'd say, there's the door. Don't let it hit your ass on the way out, and then hire new leadership to go and try and find a way to grow and expand, Michael. What's happened in the cities, which, again, to reinforce and reiterate, there are other contributors. But I haven't seen a contributor more influential in the outcome than 15, 20, 25, 30,000 consecutive days of the same people, supermajority, running those places. So to the useless generation parents out there, congratulations. There's your progeny. There's your pride and joy, destroying their own communities and neighborhoods and small businesses, Michael. Congratulations.
Mm.
There's your offspring. And to think that in 10 or 20 years, these are the people, Curtis, who are going to make laws and policies, we're better off dead. Made in America, Mark, we're better off dead than having the useless generation make laws and policies that affect our lives, livelihoods, families, rights, and liberties.
You're right. You know, I'm going to ask Mark. You brought an interesting thought to my mind. Mark, 10 years ago, and by the way, this is your 10th anniversary year of opening your store. 10 years ago, when this happened to you and you got your contracts outsourced to China by your contractors and all, what made you say, I'm not going to give in and I'm going to do something about it? What made you come up with the Made in America store idea?
Yeah, it was just, something happened to me that affected me and my employees and my family, and it was directly connected to China. I couldn't believe a part could be made overseas cheaper than I could, and all the quality assurance and needs dropped by the company to take the lower price. I mean, basically, Mike, and it woke me up and said, geez, let's see what's made here in my own showroom at General Welding. And I found out, hey, 50-50 maybe, but let's have a store that supports country, soldier, American worker, and our children's future. And you look back at that and you wonder, but it's the fabric you're from, love of America, and couldn't believe that we've sold ourselves out, really, Mike. You know, and that's what you look back and wonder, what does that? And even in the last weeks, I've had Curtis on my other radio show, and Don Buckner, and James Stubber, and Greg Owens. Curtis was on last week, and I want to tell you, I had a lady by the name of Rosemary Gibson, and Curtis, I think you know Rosemary, and she wrote a book called China RX, Exposing the Risks of American Dependency on China's Medicine, and I had her on yesterday, Mike, and unbelievable how we've allowed China to make our medicines and the ingredients that go in medicines. And, you know, she told me stories of rocket fuel being found in blood thinners that killed Americans, and there's no quality assurance. But she said also we can make our own drugs in America, and there's laws right now that could be passed, and we could be 40% more efficient in price. Things that we're uncovering, and by lining us all up, all the work you've done, Mike, is very important. You know, why I did that 10 years ago, you're knocked down and you get back up and you figure this just ain't right. Common sense said me now, it isn't right.
Now you said the word. You got knocked down and you picked yourself up. We have to have that spirit of America restored. We need to get our businesses that got hurt so badly during this pandemic and all during these, you know, last few days that all we had the riots and all. We have to get them back on their feet.
And, Mike, that's that can-do spirit.
Yes,
we have to have it. You know, but if your legs are tied, your arms are tied, they keep knocking you down, how much can you take? You know, that's the problem. We've got to really stand up now. We've got to open this country up.
We have to. I believe it. Everywhere I go, people say, We want to get back to work. We want jobs. We don't want to be calling for unemployment, even though we deserve it. We don't want to be on the lines 10 times a day, waiting 8 weeks to collect your unemployment. This is total stupidity.
Got zero respect through all this. In the 12th week, I think everybody did their part. Now you're seeing people, I mean, they're at the Walmart, the Lowe's. You can't go to churches. Our DMVs aren't open. We can't open our mall stores. We can't open. How long can you go, 12, 13, 14 weeks with no income?
And by the way, by everyone, I want you to know, I do request on a regular basis, give me statistics as to how many people died from cancer, heart attacks, car accidents, flu, coronavirus. Give me those statistics so I at least know. Don't only feed me one statistic, because working in social services for 30 years, I've been through many things, watched many people pass by and know exactly what they had. A person with heart disease for 10 years all of a sudden goes to the hospital and they're listed as coronavirus. It doesn't make sense to me.
But with all these protests and thousands of people together, why don't they have the numbers going up?
Yes, I know. We had it here in historic Philadelphia where thousands of people.
I don't know if 200 people
had masks. They were all partying. They were drinking sodas and having.
They were robbing stores with.
They were having a good time, but they didn't have masks. I said to myself. Yeah, we can't have 4th of July or any of those celebrations because of coronavirus.
Concerts. They canceled our Erie County Fair, but you got thousands of people protesting and robbing and rioting, but you can't open up your businesses.
And they have
and
no
mask. And in a salon, you got to wear a mask and a shield and gloves, and they made it so hard to run a business now. God bless the business owners.
Yeah. No, something's got to be done. Fauci and all these people, they have to get on the TV and show us exactly what is what. Take that fear factor away.
If I could make one last comment, guys, please. Actually, two comments. Just my weekly reminder, our great audio engineer makes it sound good. Swing voter in a swing state. We're going to earn his vote. We're never going to take him for granted. We more than ever, we need him on our side. So that's my public service announcement. But a wise man, Michael, I know, and he asked me not to credit him because he's not seeking the glory and the fame, but I asked him if I could cite something that he said to me. A very wise man said to me last night, he said, if you look at the people in the streets, they're not seeking equality, they're seeking payback, revenge. That's a very dangerous enemy, Mark.
You're right. And Rich, that's a very
but
true
I didn't
statement.
Say that. That's not my statement.
No,
that's
but I want to tell you something. That is a very true statement. First of all, let's look at the schools. Those boys and girls of all nations and creeds who attended schools that did not prepare them for the job force committed a crime, as far as I'm concerned. Wasted money, wasted emotional well-being, wasted human potential. Period. There's no doubt about that. If you graduated with a piece of paper, everybody was happy. It was a short-term happiness. Where do you step next with that piece of paper? Where's your job? What are you going to do for the next 15, 20, or 30 years? None of that is ever considered by these school counselors. I speak to some of them and tell them my thoughts, and they almost want to hit the roof. Injustice anywhere leads to injustice everywhere. Injustice anywhere leads to injustice everywhere, and that's how this country's been run.
Look, to the parent, when I said congratulations to the most useless generation of parents, their progeny is the most useless generation of youth. Let me say, there's many parents and many youth who aren't useless. And for the ones out there who aren't, I want you to know, even if I don't know you personally, I consider you an American hero and heroine. If you're a parent today, Michael, raising young kids, and you're fighting. To me, it's like we're bombarded. It's like war. We just get bombarded by enemy fire. And there are parents out there right now, Michael, who are doing their damnedest to fight all of this off. They're heroes. They're heroines. But where is the most useless generation of youth going to go, and what are they going to do, Michael?
But you know, Richard, another very good point is. Is any of this being discussed in the national media? The answer is no. Nothing. Do you hear this kind of conversation on any of the major news networks? They come on with all the negative slop throwing that they can. Instead,
and remember, Mike, we're on the 3 months of the COVID crisis shutdown, where many of these rioters are getting the extra $600, the unemployment insurance. They're getting paid to do this rioting, because a part-time person is collecting $100 or $200 unemployment in New York plus $605 or $600. It's amazing they're getting paid to do this, because you don't have schools open or colleges where they can go to. It's just amazing the timing of this.
Well, you know, I never understood that extra money.
If
you are working,
they want to pay people to go back to work again. And
right.
They got a new
and
plan.
I hear this very important. And I made some good comments on another radio show. I was a guest. And I said, well, the person was talking about this. And I said, well, let me just say this. If your place of employment calls you back, they should immediately inform the unemployment office that you've been called back to work, and all those bennies get cut immediately, not in 2 months or 6 weeks, immediately.
Right.
Because we're just piling debt on top of debt.
Mike, 40 million laid off, and the economy,
Mark,
burning out. There isn't the jobs left, they think. The quicker they turn this on, the better for everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And this is horrible. This is a very important time of the year when people go out to enjoy themselves at the shore resorts. I'd like to see those people, of course, give them a little social distancing or whatever is needed. But I also would like to see Dr. Fauci come up with all the statistics of what caused deaths in America within any 10-day period. And you will be shocked to see how many suicides there are now as per before the pandemic. You would be really shocked to see how many people are suffering from distress as a result of the pandemic.
I'll tell you, my daughter, 17, and her friend, this protest the last 8-9 days have bothered her more than anything she's been through in the last 3 months, even with her school closed, no prom, no graduation. This is not good.
And first of all, this is, I mentioned that maybe a week or two ago. Look at what this China coronavirus has done to this country. Young people couldn't go into school and be with people where they learn skills, social skills. They couldn't go to their proms. They couldn't go to their sports events. They couldn't go to graduations. They can't do anything as they were. And yet we haven't heard all the facts. All we are focusing on is the coronavirus only. I have to, in social work, I have to, honor the idea and know what to do for every person. If some person is saying, I need a new recommendation, my heart giving me troubles, this doctor's retiring, do you have anybody? Is there, some database where that could recommend? Maybe I need a doctor that speaks a foreign language. None of that's being discussed anymore. That's all pushed upon the little agencies to do. All they're worried about is coronavirus, which of course I believe is there. But how many people this year died from the flu in America? I didn't hear about the flu. 1 year it vanished from America. The flu vanished. Last year there were 61,000 people who died of mainly elder, of pneumonia and flu. Where's the pneumonia and flu? Did that take a break?
Michael, can I cite one other?
Yes, surely.
At the risk of making this the statistic, but I'm gonna mention it. Reports I've read today are that in all this terrorism, and call it for what it is. Call it for what it is. What you need to hear, Generation Useless has heard too much of what they want to hear, not enough of what they need to hear. Michael, in all these terrorist protests, there are 4 black people who were killed, including a 22-year-old woman in, I believe it was St. Louis. So you see, it's never about what they say it's about, Mark. It never is. How much longer are Americans going to sit around and wonder when it's going to get better on its own? And the greatest generation, Michael, let me just say, this is not, the last point, this is not a criticism at all of the greatest generation. These people faced unimaginable horrors. They fought in unimaginable conditions. But they took for granted, again, now I'm not criticizing, this is a hindsight remark. They took for granted, Michael, that their youth would be tough-minded and strong-willed as they. And instead, we got the Woodstock generation. And today is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with that era. The chickens of that era have come home to roost. And to Curtis's point, change, negative change, Michael, comes fast. Historically, it always tends to come at you really fast. So everyone has to understand that today. They've got to realize that, because Curtis is so correct on that as a historical observation.
I was listening to Rod Rosenstein being grilled by Senator Josh Hawley in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Here we have one of the deep state weasels, Rod Rosenstein, who signed off on all of the warrants that investigated Donald J. Trump and set up and signed off on appointing Bob Mueller to the investigation that dragged on for 2 years to hogtie the administration. He's sitting there saying he's not accountable. He has no idea what's going on. He never even looked into the documents that he rubber-stamped, all the pack of lies that was handed to him that set this country up. Let me just say this, that what we have seen with the riots in the street and the close down of the American normal life is just the completion of the project that started with the deep state. We have seen the infiltration of our government to the highest levels, not the very highest levels, because thank God we have President Donald J. Trump in there, but throughout our government is shot through and through with people who sympathize and support and ideological bedfellows with the people rioting in the streets today. And they are cheering them on because they support the same goal. They support the same goal. When you hear the term systemic racism, you have to ask, what system are they talking about harboring racism? It is the American system of private property and free enterprise that they are opposed to.
God bless you, Curtis. You are the best, and take his word seriously. Everyone, I want to talk to you next week about S-3707, if we can, because I think we're going to have to merge some of these ideas in the future and get America's economy up and running again. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. I want to say thank you to Curtis Ellis and, of course, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and to also our Rich. Rich is the best, only the best, never let it be said otherwise. And thank you to our engineer, and also thank you to all of you for going out and spreading the word. Mark Andel welcomes your business. Check him out on the internet at madeinamericastore.com. And of course, Mark, Rich, Curtis, and also all of you, I'm going to say thank you, because without you, we're not going to go anywhere. Larkin, my very best, and until we see each other on Saturday or next Wednesday at 11, God bless all of you, and may God bless America.